Well, we're meeting for the first Sunday in our new facility, and like I said, this is the dry run this Sunday, and next Sunday is the official first Sunday here in this place, okay? We have moved Sunday morning worship services out of our house. The first official meeting in our new facility is October the 18th, 2009, and we're meeting in the Matthews Community Center in downtown Matthews, North Carolina. All of you listening who've been reluctant to visit or to be a part of us because we're meeting in a home, now's your chance. Come visit and try us out in a real building. Yes, we still have home group meetings. Yes, we still have a radio program. By the way, the radio program is on 1240 AM, and now it's also on 104.3 FM. And we're broadcasting not only on Saturday morning at 10:30, but they're also doing a bonus broadcast on Sunday afternoon at 3:30. But official Sunday morning worship services now are here at the Matthews Community Center. We've also changed our meeting time to begin at 10 o'clock for all you late sleepers. Get all the details at our website, www.cecmessiah.org. O-R-G. www.cecmessiah.org. And most of all, come visit, try us out, and just maybe you might want to become a part of this wonderful family here at CEC Messiah. So this is really a new day for us. It's a new day in the life of this parish, and I want to talk about new beginnings. I want to talk a little bit about new eras in life. You know, a change of an era is like a big shift in life, like when you get married, or like for Grace and them when they moved to another country. You know, that's a big shift in life, right? It's a big change. I may wander around a little bit this morning, so just bear with me. I want to share my heart, talk a little bit about new beginnings, especially for me and Debbie. We've been hit big by this idea of new beginnings or new eras, shifts in life. Not only is this our first Sunday in our new church facility, but it's also a change not just of era for our church, but it's a change of era for our life as well. Debbie's mom, Jean, passed away a week and a half ago. I'll tell you a little bit more of the story about that in a minute, because I know most of y'all knew Jean and loved her. But as for us, Debbie and I, this really marks a milestone in our lives. For the first time in our lives, Debbie and I are without parents on this earth. We have gone in an instant from being the beloved, pampered children to the matriarch and patriarch of the family. There's nobody to call for money when we need to do home improvement. You know, that beautiful porch that we have on our house, our mothers did that for us. We can no longer wake up in the morning confident that my mother will spend most of her day praying for us. She's not here to do that. There are no parents, no grandparents for us to visit anymore. You know how it is when you visit parents or grandparents, you know they're going to take you to lunch, they're going to buy you dinner, they're going to take you shopping, those kind of things, not there anymore. There's no family to worry about where we have Thanksgiving or Christmas with. You know, sometimes we do Christmas with Jean, for instance, on Christmas Day. And then a few days later, we would do Christmas with my mother. Well, for her, that wasn't good enough. We weren't there Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. It didn't count as Christmas, you know, for her. And so we kind of had to fight through those tensions. Debbie, lately anyway, especially, fought through the tensions of her mom calling her. How come you didn't call me the last two or three days? I mean, she wanted Debbie to call every day, every day. Well, after complaining all those years about the attitudes of our parents and how in the world are we going to please them and those things, we don't have to worry about that anymore, sadly, because we don't have any parents to complain about on this earth. Fortunately, all our parents are in heaven, but they're not here. They're gone. Now, actually, I still wish we had some of those worries to work through in our life. And I guess now it's time maybe to start demanding all these all these impossible things of our children, right? All the things that our parents demanded of us. Yeah, it probably wouldn't work with them. That's right. That's right. I have a teenage friend on Facebook. And a week or two ago, she was complaining about her parents. And I was thinking about that, how, boy, as a teenager, you really do. It seems like you got a lot of tension with your parents, and the parents are, they just don't know how to do things, and they don't want you to have any fun. And as you get older, especially if after you have children, all of a sudden you realize why your parents did all of those things, but you still have some tension with them. And sometimes you wish they'd quit calling or quit bugging you, and then you get to the place where we are now, where it's a, really a change in era. I mean, it's a new thing in our life. I mean, it's just as dramatic a change, I think, to us as getting married was. We're going to have to look at things differently. Look at Psalm 90, verse 10, real quick. When I read this, it reminded me of Gene. It says, "For the days of our life, they contain 70 years, or if due to strength, 80 years. Yet their pride is but labor and sorrow, and soon it is gone and we fly away." Boy, how fleeting life is. How short life is. I mean, I know when you're 18 and you're 10 foot tall and bulletproof and life is never going to end, you don't think about that. But you watch those that you love go into the next life and you realize, boy, life is short. You know, Jean worked hard at staying healthy. She took her vitamins. She exercised. She had teeth replaced so that she'd be more healthy. I mean, she did everything she could do to be as healthy as she possibly could be. And yet, she was cut down at 83 by a disease that came upon her suddenly. People don't even know what causes the disease, so there's nothing you can do to prevent it, and there's really no treatment for it. And it just literally shuts down all the systems in your body until you're gone. Jean never really learned how to put her trust in God for healing. She put her trust in doctors and in medicine. And when you do that and you get to this place like she was, where doctors and medicine can't do anything, you're just out of luck. And I want to prophesy to you this morning and tell you that a dark time is coming on this earth, a time that we may live to see, and it's a time when we will need to remain all the time filled with the Holy Spirit, a time when if we haven't already learned how to trust God for the miraculous, it'll be too late. Times will be too tough to learn how to trust God during those times. It'll be too late to start learning. And so I encourage you, do the hard things now. Train yourself to trust God so that you won't be caught in the dark when it's too late to learn how to trust God. It's like the parable of the 10 virgins. Make sure you got some extra oil of the Holy Spirit with you all the time so that you're not caught empty when the tribulation falls on this entire earth. Debbie was able to be with Jean when she passed. And I hope I get this story right. We brought Jean home from the hospital. She was in her own bed. And for a couple of days, she had times of lucidity and times where she was mostly asleep. And then the last couple of days, she really went into a place where she slept all the time. And they didn't have to drug her for that. Her body was just shutting down. And so Debbie, one evening, night really, Debbie was able to spend that night with her mother, taking care of her mother. Her cousin was there to help. Hospice was there in and out to help at times. And Debbie was praying for her mother and just felt like, you know, this is the time for her to go. And so Debbie took Jean's hand and said, "Lord, take her by the hand and take her home to be with you. And as soon as she prayed that, for the first time in 2 or 3 days, Jean's eyes opened. And she looked out beyond Debbie, and she breathed her last breath and went to be with the Lord. So it was a very peaceful passing. Debbie was able to be with her. Debbie knows, you know, that Jesus literally went and took her hand and took her on. We just don't have control of this kind of stuff. There are changes in life that come about, and we don't have any control over it. Turn to Amos 5, in verse 8, part of our Old Testament reading this morning. It says, He who made the Pleiades and Orion, you know what he's talking about? It's talking about constellations of stars.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
That's right. So he made these constellations in the sky, and he changes deep darkness into morning. He also darkens the day into night, who calls from the waters of the sea and pours them out on the surface of the earth. The Lord is his name. This scripture is talking about how God is going to do things at times when we don't have any control over it, any prior knowledge of it. He's going to do what he's going to do. He's always bringing us into new beginnings. God is the one who is in control of these things. And Jean's passing changed an era in our lives, just like moving to this building changes an era in our church and in our parish. You know, life really is full of change. Matter of fact, we live in a world of constant change. Each day, think about it now, it's only noon for an instant. And then it's early afternoon, and then it's afternoon, it's late afternoon, early evening, and you know, you go on, and pretty soon it's morning again. And I mean, at the time, the old hands of the old clock may be moving slow, but they are always moving. Our lives are never still. This is most pronounced, of course, in childhood, when the children are little and they're literally doubling their weight every few months. But I tell you, it is a very real moment in your life. All of a sudden you understand life and death in a little bit different way. You watch somebody that you love and they're just not there anymore. They're not going to be coming to the door again. They're not going to be calling. They're not going to be, you know, they're not going to be sitting on the porch waiting for you. And, you know, when one parent dies, well, okay. And, you know, but you get married, and so now you have four parents, really. And they begin to die off one at a time. And, boy, when that last one goes, it's a sea change. So let me continue. I was talking about how we live in a world of constant change. And, you know, it's more pronounced in childhood and babies. But we're always changing. You know, even us adults, we are growing old every moment. It may be slow, but it's still happening. And we're still changing. You know, when we become adults, when we're children, we seem to enjoy all the changes and something new, want to do something new all the time, different all the time. But when we become adults, we start wanting to settle down, and we want things to get stable. We want our lives to stabilize and everything to just be kind of constant. And it just never really works that way. We're really working against how things are. Human nature is to long for stability, and yet God has put us in a world where everything is changing all the time, and there's never any real stability. I mean, sometimes there's some apparent stability, but no real stability. The cloud patterns and the weather, they're different every day. The kid, you know, you're waiting for them to be able to hold their head up and then turn over and then to say mom, and then of course the next word is no that they learn, and then you're waiting for them to take their first step, and we're waiting for all of these changes, and then when you become an adult, you're waiting for that first gray hair, or that first touch of arthritis, you know what I mean? We know that the changing is coming. And if we don't look if we don't learn to look forward to and to embrace the changes that are happening in our lives, we're going to be miserable because life is always changing. In a sense, we are always in a state of new beginnings. And I think if we can think about it that way, it may be helpful to us. Instead of thinking, why is it like the librarian? You know, just about the time I get these books all in order, somebody comes in and checks one out. This is just so aggravating. Well, you know, if instead of having that attitude about life when it changes, if we can look at it as, okay, this is a chance for a new beginning. This is a chance to start all over again. This is a chance to do things new and in a different and in a better way. I think we'll be better off. In other words, just recognize that the change is not always for the worst, but a change is a new beginning. Kevin has a new beginning in his job, difficult change as it may be. It's a new chance. It's a new beginning. I know he sees it that way. And as a matter of fact, Kevin said something fairly profound the other day. Kevin and Sandy have gone through the passing of my mother and Debbie's mother in the last 2 years, gone through that with us. And it's been a very personal thing because we've all been there together when they died, or we've at least been there right afterwards, and then we start going through the houses, going through their stuff, helping organize their estate, finding all the right papers, finding the stuff that they wanted us to have, and etc. And in doing that, we've all kind of come to this realization that, you know, this stuff that our parents had, and some of it belonged to their grandparents or even their great-grandparents, some of it's pretty special stuff. Some of it's stuff we grew up with. One of the coffee tables that Mother had, I can remember putting teeth marks on that coffee table, you know, as a kid. And my brother doing the same thing. And so instead of looking at it as, oh, it's just an old beat-up piece of furniture, it's like, I want to have that coffee table around somewhere. I want it in my house or the kids' house, something, because this is part of our life. You know, this is the stuff of our life. One of the tables where I colored on it, and then my daughter colored on it, and now my grandkids have colored on that table, and so we want to make use of that. We don't want to just put it away somewhere or put it up. And so Kevin had been thinking about this, and this is what Kevin wrote on Facebook yesterday. Don't live your life in a box. We all have special things we pack away in a box because it's too special even for us to look at or especially to use. Start using your special plates and glasses every day. Don't wait for the special day to come to use them. Chip it, scratch it, and maybe sometimes break it. It will be just fine as long as you use it and get outside of living in a box. How profound is that? We were thinking about that. You know, grandparents, don't keep the special crystal and dishes all put away and never use them because they're too special. Get them out every time the kids come and use them. And then at some point, start giving them to the kids. Why don't you take this set home and use it? And because that provides the continuation of the family. Life is too short to save it all up. I can't believe how much even my mother and Jean saved stuff up, even though they were giving stuff to us a little long way, how much they were saving up, how much we didn't even know about. The pictures, you start looking at the pictures, you don't have any idea what's there. Why didn't we sit down with them over the years and say, let's go through the pictures and see who these uncles and aunts are? And this, you know, there was some of the stuff in Mother's house, we would pull it off a shelf and we would look at the bottom of it and it would have a piece of masking tape on the bottom of it, and written on the bottom was when she got it and where. Like a special vase that she got when I was born in Germany. She got it there. Or it was her grandmother's that had been given to her as a wedding present or something. We didn't know any of that until she died. We didn't, you know, let's share this stuff with our kids. Let's make it part of their lives so they can enjoy our lives along with them. Folks, live our lives to the max, okay? Let's live Each day is a new beginning. Live with special stuff in our life, the stuff of those that we've loved, and let's live to God's glory. Now, back to this concept of new beginnings in the parish. In our parish or church, let's take advantage of this idea of when things change, it's a new beginning. This church, this parish, has a change. It's a new beginning. God told us He was going to do this in prophecy. Let me just read for you Isaiah 42 real quick, and then another scripture out of Amos. Isaiah 42 says, verses 9 and 10, "Behold, the former things have come to pass. Now I declare new things, says the Lord. Before they spring forth, I proclaim them to you. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing His praise from the end of the earth, you who go down to the sea and all that is in it, your islands and those who dwell on it. Sing a new song." And then in Amos 3 and verses 7 and 8, the prophet says, "Surely the Lord God does nothing unless He reveals His secret counsel to His servants, the prophet. A lion has roared. Who will not fear? The Lord God has spoken. Who cannot but prophesy?" At the June convocation this year, Debbie and I received a prophecy about this church. We've had it in the bulletin for a few weeks. It says, "The church has been in a period of a lull, a settling in, not a bad thing, but a settled place, doing everyday good work of the church." Now, let me interrupt for just a second. Grace was talking about this the other day, in that we have all really been learning, we've been building up in the Spirit, learning how to be settled in ourselves so we can now start helping other people, meaning that it's time now to be able to bring other people in, people that need help, we're ready to help them. The prophecy goes on to say, "An uproar in the Spirit is coming to take us to deeper depths and higher heights, a greater moving of the Holy Spirit and spiritual gifts. But the word uproar will only come to fruition as we pray it into being. The Lord is about to take you from one playground and place you in another playground. Get ready for church growth." This is our new playground. We need to be praying for there to be an uproar of the Holy Spirit in this place, and that people will come in, folks that are on the fence, folks that are backslidden, folks that don't know what it means to serve God, folks that used to serve God and don't, you know, all of these, let's bring them in and let's build them up. Let's bring them in the kingdom of God and get them settled here. We are building a house. From our epistle reading this morning in Hebrews 3, it's talking about, "Therefore, holy brothers, partakers of a heavenly calling, consider Jesus the apostle and high priest of our confession." It goes on to talk about how Moses was faithful into what he was doing, but he was faithful like a servant. But Jesus is faithful like not just the Son, but the builder of the house as well. And so, you know, the servant in the house is okay, but the one who gets the real glory is the builder of the house. Well, he goes on to say down here that that's Jesus. "Now, Moses was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken later about him. But Christ was faithful as a son over his house, whose house we are, if we hold fast in our confidence and the boast of our hope firm until the end." We are the house of God. And we are building a part of this great worldwide kingdom of God here on this earth. We're building a part of that. Maps of the earth, the United States, all around here. This is our playground where we're building the kingdom of God. The Matthews Community Center is our new playground. Let's use this new playground as a new opportunity to invite everybody you know, everyone that could possibly come visit. Invite them to come visit. They've been here before, or they've been to the house before, or they weren't sure. Invite them to come again. Check things out. Redouble your efforts to get friends and neighbors to attend a home group with you or to come to church with you. Talk to everyone you know about Jesus and what He's doing in your life. Tell them about CEC Messiah. We got a good thing going on here. We are absolutely the healthiest bunch of people that I've ever been around. I have watched family after family come into CEC Messiah, and they're broken financially, they're broken spiritually, their marriages may even be broken, and within a year or two of being here, they are on financially solid ground, their marriages are growing, they're growing deep in God. We got a good thing going on. And part of our gospel reading this morning, Mark 10, 28 through 31, Peter said, "Look, we've given up everything to follow you." Jesus said, "Truly, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or farms for my sake, for the gospel's sake, but that he shall receive 100 times as much in the present age." And he goes on to list these things. We need to leave everything we have that isn't part of what God wants to do in our lives, and we want to get serious. Let's start a new beginning, and let's get real serious about what we're doing for God. As Grace was saying earlier, let's start interceding. Let's start praying. Let's start praying for those that God wants us to bring into and shepherd and disciple in the kingdom of God. And let's build this church together in this place, in our homes. We have moved Sunday morning worship services out of our house. The first official meeting in our new facility is October the 18th, 2009, and we're meeting in the Matthews Community Center in downtown Matthews, North Carolina. All of you listening who've been reluctant to visit or to be a part of us because we're meeting in a home, now's your chance. Come visit and try us out in a real building. Yes, we still have home group meetings. Yes, we still have a radio program. By the way, the radio program is on 1240 AM, and now it's also on 104.3 FM. And we're broadcasting not only on Saturday morning at 10:30, but they're also doing a bonus broadcast on Sunday afternoon at 3:30. But official Sunday morning worship services now are here at the Matthews Community Center. We've also changed our meeting time to begin at 10 o'clock for all you late sleepers. Get all the details at our website, www.cecmessiah.org. www.cecmessiah.org. And most of all, come visit. Try us out. And just maybe you might want to become a part of this wonderful family here at CEC Messiah.